Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, really continuing the thought from chapter 2. Remember, these chapters are all added by for easy reference and so on. So there's a somewhat of a logical break sometimes, but at other times it's just put there because we need chapters, but Paul didn't. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So, see, oh, you foolish Galatians. Again, the whole issue in Galatians was, and I wish to emphasize this, because some people say, well, law versus faith means there's no such thing as, we aren't expected to behave. See, the law is put there for a purpose. It is to regulate the behavior of people, right? And because the law is done away with, and we are not under the law, some people think that means, well, now we don't have to behave ourselves. No, we don't behave our, we don't seek to model our behavior according to the law, but rather we trust in God for the revelation of righteousness in us by faith. And we seek it, and we're diligent in the pursuit of it. Whatever that means. I mean, in some sense, it's difficult for humanity to not look at this as trying to pursue it in a legalistic way. Trying to find out the things God wants me to do and then to go do them. And that is just in the nature of man. We want to please God. And so we seek to please God. Unfortunately, it's not always according to the way God wants it to be. You know, but also, I mean, hey, there is, I always think it is pleasing to God that we seek righteousness, right? But ultimately, it pleases Him that we should seek it by faith, not by any other means, which simply means this. The things that God promised, we believe. That's all. Unfortunately, but some people don't realize the extent of God's promises. A lot of people don't even realize that righteousness is a promise of God. That He's promised to us. That we would become like Him. A lot of times, people don't understand that that's a promise, and so they don't even believe it. Why? It's because of the false gospel being preached by the false brethren entered unawares. And honestly, a lot of these gospels, which they call free grace and stuff, it's really nothing more than legalism again. I'll get into that later. I will. So who hath bewitched you? Bascano. To fascinate by false representations, is what I've written down here. Boy, they sure do bewitch. They should not behave, obey the truth. We have to obey the truth. I mean, if grace was really what they say, all you gotta do is believe in Jesus, and then you could try to do things by the law. Well, what's the harm? If as long as you still believe in Jesus. But there are restrictions, aren't there? On what we are to do and what we are not to do, aren't they? We are not, if there is something wrong, if we seek to justify ourselves before God by the law, now we're not in grace anymore. Well, gee, wait a second. I thought all I had to do was believe. I mean, why is God going to judge me if I'm just trying to do things right according to His laws? Well, that's not the way he wants you to approach him, because there's more to Christianity than just accepting a very narrow set of facts. It's a very narrow way. It's according to God's way, but it's not a narrow set of facts, meaning like, I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I confess him with my mouth, and that's it. That last part, and that's it. See, that's where you leave off the gospel of Christ. There's always more to it than that, but that's where you start. If you believe those things, then when I tell you the rest of the story, you should have no trouble believing that either. But Jesus said this, "If you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins." So if you die in your sins, to me that is just manifest proof that you did not believe that Jesus is verily the Christ. You must have believed something else, because you died a sinner. I was born a sinner. I just don't want to die a sinner. I want to obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. You saw Jesus crucified among me. It was so, the portrayal of the gospel was so vivid. It was like he was there among you, crucified. I only want to know, did you get when you got the Holy Ghost, was it because of the works of the law? And honestly, you can expand this beyond the Jewish law, though he's talking about circumcision. In fact, you know what? I should have mentioned this in chapter 2, and I'm very sorry I did not. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Because that was the issue, really. Someone had come and told the Galatians, "Oh, yes, you believe in Jesus, wonderful, but you do need to be crucified. But you do not need to be circumcised." But that's what they were saying. Is, "Oh, you need to be circumcised. According to the flesh." Now, some people say, well, what about baptism? I mean, people say you need to be baptized. Well, that's of the faith which is of Jesus. That's not according to the law. The law says nothing of that. But it's the faith. Why? Well, I'll tell you why I do it in faith. Because it says we are buried with him in baptism. So I believe that. So when I get baptized, I believe that I'm buried with Christ. See, there's a faith. When you get circumcised, what's your faith? I'm being circumcised with Simeon. I mean, what is... And the thing is, we have the Word of God here saying we don't have to do it. But we have baptism where it says the word of faith speaketh. Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Well, I want my sins remitted. It's not for the obedience of the law. Or even doing it as according to the law. Though one could seek to do baptism according to law. Meaning, I'll be baptized and that'll earn me God's favor. Because that's the whole point of the law, is that they would do works of the law, attempting to curry God's favor or his grace. If I do this and this, then God will be pleased with me. Not just pleased with me, but I will obtain his favor. Meaning, God wants me to do these things first, then he'll favor me. But the faith is the opposite. I hear of God the things I ought to do, and by faith I believe and do them. So, did you receive the Spirit by faith or by doing deeds? I tell you what, when I received the Spirit, there were deeds that were done. I did deeds. They weren't according to the law. They were just according to the faith of what I'd heard. And what I'd heard was that I needed to go somewhere, a specific place, and get the Holy Ghost there. As far as that's what the Spirit of God was speaking to me in my heart to go do. Okay, and I did it, and it happened to me. Now, that's not according to law. According to law would be, now I go to someone and I'd say, you need to go where I went and do what I did so that you could receive the Holy Ghost. Because if you do what I did and you go where I went, God will look on that, be pleased, and he'll react. See, whereas when I did it, I was reacting to what God was leading me in. And that's the point. It's like, we don't act and God reacts. God acts and we react to Him. That's how faith works. God promises, we believe. God commands, we obey. Now, the laws are commands. And ultimately, as you know, it's hard for me to go through Galatians, honestly. I feel like I want to teach chapter 5 first. So people would understand what the liberty of Christ really makes us free to be. But I'm going to hold my peace and continue on these early chapters. Because really, he's focusing, and as I go through, I want to make sure you understand, the works of the law is referring to those Jewish traditions, but it can also be the sense of which I'm trying to get God's grace by what I do, as opposed to God being gracious to me that I might obey Him in faith. And it may seem like a subtle distinction, and in a sense it is. Because everyone, there's no such thing as a gospel without works. You know, some people say, no, there's gospels without works. No. There's grace comes without works. But grace, the action of grace on a believer will cause him to do things, to works to happen to him. God worketh all our works in us, as it is written. And see, you know, even if you have a minimalist, these teachers who say, well, all you have to do is confess in your heart, with your mouth, confess the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, and you will be saved. Go to Romans 10, and listen to my teaching from that, if you have a problem with me saying that that's not enough. They'll say that, okay, well, that's it. Well, that is a work. Okay, you have to understand that believing that is something you do. And see, people say, well, do this and you will please God and He will save you. See, that's works. That's the works of the law. It is. That is the works of the law. What is faith is this. The thing is, God is showing favor to you already. And He says, if you will, He says to you, and this is His grace already come, confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God rose Him from the dead, and you will be saved. And you say, I believe it. Now, there's not much difference. No, the difference is the way it's presented. It's whether it's a work of faith or a work of the law. Because I swear they treat it, you know, they have like the four spiritual laws. And there is the law of Christ, which we have to obey. Okay? There are definitely laws out there that need to be obeyed. But again, the way to fulfill all that is through faith. Having become of the Spirit, you are made perfect by the flesh. Well, how are you going to be made perfect? By the Spirit. So there is a way to be made. We are supposed to be made perfect. You know, we begun in the Spirit, right? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, there's a implied question under the subtext here. By what then shall you be made perfect? By the Spirit. By the hearing of faith. Have you suffered so many things? I mean, they had suffered things. Was that all in vain? Oh my God. Think about it. That you had gone through suffering and then to turn around and be like, okay, I realize now I'd never been pleasing God. I gotta get circumcised. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. And honestly, you know, I was thinking back to baptism again. Because at one point in my walk, I was in doubt about my original baptism as how it was done, and I thought maybe I ought to be baptized. So I got baptized. I was like, was I doing that like a work of the law? I was like, no. Because I didn't think I was pleasing God. Well, maybe at first I went into that, but when I look at it now, I don't look at it. See, the thing is, even if you go and do that, okay, let's say you went and got circumcised, it's not like, oh, well, now you're finished. No, you've just got to go back to faith. So I look at my second baptism. It's for me. Why? So I could be buried with him in baptism and raised with him in newness of life. And that's why I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it's he the one who I'm being raised with. And that's, again, a reference back to Romans. I'm going to try to... Well, no. If it be yet in vain, that's sort of parenthetical. Like, God, I hope it... You know, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it is in vain, meaning hoping it's... I'm hoping it's not. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. These are rhetorical now. It's faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and I love the story of Abraham, I do, because it so makes so clear what the understanding of faith is. Faith is not hear nothing, do, you know, hear you hear it, and then God does nothing. Faith is you hear the promise of God, believe it, and he delivers. That is faith. You can have faith in vain, you know, and things that don't come to pass. But that is how faith works in the gospel, see. We believe he delivers. You know, otherwise, he's just a liar, really. If I believe God for righteousness' sake, right? And Jesus Christ said, you know, I love this. He said, they said, Lord, increase our faith. We need more faith. And he said, this is the thing. He said, well, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. But they wanted to increase their faith. They had all ventured their faith bigger than a mustard seed, I suppose. Right? But my point is, it doesn't take a lot of faith. He says, oh, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. One of the men who was approaching, I forgot what he was approaching Jesus for. He wanted to be healed or receive his sight. I think it was receive his sight. He says, you know, if you believe, you can be healed. And he says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And what happened? He willed. It made him whole. See, my faith, it's hard, you know, look at Abraham, that must have been hard to believe, but he did believe, see? He did believe. He didn't, as it says in Romans, I think it was chapter 4, he staggered not at the promise of God, not looking at it, how old his wife was, how old he was. They hadn't had kids in all these years. What, now he's going to have a child? They were childless. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's quoted from Genesis 15, verse 6. God accounts righteousness ahead of the righteousness actually being given. Okay? But that is by no means to say that the righteousness is never to be given. Meaning that, let's say I believe God and he accounts it for righteousness. He doesn't then put on rose-colored glasses. And then for the rest of my life, as I just keep sinning and sinning, all he sees is righteous Jesus. No, that's not how it works. He accounts it to righteousness, but then he continues through and delivers on his promise. God delivers on his promises. Otherwise, he is the minister of sin. Because his whole ministry to you has led you to nothing but sin. What's that? And if you be in sin, see, Christ isn't the minister of sin. If you're in sin and you think you're following Jesus, something's wrong. And here's the thing. Maybe you have been following Jesus properly, and you know, but you've seen sin stripped away in your life. Don't faint now. Continue with him, and he will continue to deliver you. He will deliver on his promises. You will see all those things stripped away. Be diligent. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue kindness, to kindness, temperance, to temperance, the rest of it. I've been mentioning, I need to memorize that list. I should memorize an even longer list, so I could just rattle off 40 or 50 things that we should add to our faith. Because there's all kinds of things. Faith plus nothing equals salvation. Well, faith Faith isn't like this dead thing that doesn't grow. Faith grows. It gets bigger. It adds things to it. See, faith builds on itself. I'm not seeking to build foreign things like the works of the law into faith. No. Faith builds. It grows. You know, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. See, when we are like, we're like Abraham. We believe. And as he believed the promises of God, he also received the promises of God. I think that's as important. You know why? Because people forget that God is faithful. They think that, like, what they do is they stagger at the promises of God. They stagger. I love to eat too much to ever lose weight. I could never be temperate. I could never be moderate in the way I look at food. I love food. I'm going to be tubby all my life. I could never stop lusting after women. I got to stagger at the promise of God that I could escape the corruption of the world that is in the world through lust. Because I stagger at that promise because that promise is... I don't think God can do that. Or, he isn't going to do that. He's not good. He doesn't care about me. I'll tell you what. He that began a good work in you is faithful to finish it. You got to believe in the promises of God and believe he's faithful. And remember this. Don't despise the patience and long-suffering of God. It's his goodness that leads you to repentance. Really. And part of why, I think part of the way he could do it all at once. No doubt. And he does do things all at once. It's, there's a time things go by and then all of a sudden, boom, one day everything changes. Total change. But then maybe not quite everything was changed yet. And then there's something else. Like Peter, it's like, well, he denied Christ, but he got, Jesus said, he that denies me before men, will I deny before my Father in heaven. Well, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. I mean, it's, gee, goodness, that doesn't look good for Peter, if you're going to look at it in a legalistic sense, right? But then Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? After his resurrection. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And so it grieved him when he said it the 3rd time. I think because it reminded him of that. It grieved his heart. The Lord didn't apologize. But it is, we go through things. Peter went through that. And there were other things that came up, like this thing Paul mentioned back in chapter 2. Kind of humbling, to after walking, that you're an apostle, you're preaching, and then to have something to come along, boom. Oh yeah, that is hypocrisy. But you know what? That doesn't mean you stop there. Like, oh gee, now I'm finished. Go on in faith. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Because to the one who knocks, the door is opened. So, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall the nations be blessed. See, the God, Abraham, it came to pass, Through Abraham's seed, ultimately Christ, all the nations of the world became blessed. Because out of every nation, God has called and elect a group of individuals whom he is going to conform to the image of his son. They're going to become like Christ, and he will call them his sons. As he taught in Romans, according to adoption, he's going to adopt human beings as sons of God. It's marvelous and kind of, as far as I'm concerned, it's almost like far out. It's like, woo, that's, is that hard to believe? Maybe it is. But see, the thing is, faith is the gift of God. It's not of yourselves. So thankfully, I can have a little bit of mustard seed faith, enough to put in to change things. To move mountains. I know I can move mountains. I can move mountains. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You know, and I go back to that mustard seed thing, because it starts so small. That's my point. It's like having a little faith will allow you to do the greatest things. Just a tiny little faith. Believe something small. I believe God will give me the Holy Ghost. God can deliver me from alcohol. Start small, and it'll get big real fast. I mean, well, as fast as God wants it to be, right? It's according to the will of God, in the will of God. He maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. And that's the thing, is like Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to please myself, but to please him who sent me. That's what we gotta be like. I didn't come into the world to please myself, or show off for myself. And people would say, Paul, you can move mountains. I'm the one to move the mountain. Well, I came not to please myself or to testify of myself, but to testify of him that sent me. An evil and perverse generation looketh after a sign. You want me to prove I have the faith of a mustard seed and move a mountain? Well, I refuse. So I refuse because God has not willed me to do so. But I certainly can move it. I have the faith to. I know I have that much faith. If you have the faith to believe he could move a mountain, then you have the faith to believe that God could do anything. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. He's quoting the Old Testament here. The curse is from Deuteronomy 27:26. There's a curses, all kind. Curse the man that do this, curse the man that do that. A lot of it has to do with interesting ways you execute the law, and maybe I don't have it planned. Well, someday I might teach Deuteronomy, and I'd teach it as the way the law, so you'd understand what the law really is, and the way the law was executed, because I have a lot of insight on that. But the just shall live by faith is Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Anyway, the Old Testament, it was actually preached of faith. Yeah. Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. See, the interesting thing, live by his faith. See, his soul that is lifted up is not right. I mean, the guy thinks, what I have done, what I do. But those who have faith in God. I mean, the Old Testament is written. For by the deeds, again, the soul. Because when you think it is what I have done, your soul becomes lifted up. That's why a lot of the Jews in Jesus' day were just intolerably arrogant and hypocritical. Because they had lifted up to, I am a doer of those things which God commands. I fulfill all the law, being more zealous than my companions, and more, accomplished. And I have done all, they look at all the things, and it causes your soul to be lifted up. When you know things come by faith, and you know everything's coming down from God to you. Like all the works I've done, all the music I've written, I know that it's like I received it from God. I don't glory as if it hadn't been received by God. Yeah, man. Boy. Nobody's ever done the works I've done. I've whereof the glory. I glory rather than this, that God would actually do those things in me, a sinner. That's glorious to me. That he would actually do things in someone so small. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. That's another Old Testament quote. That's from Leviticus 18:5. He that does the law shall live. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's from Deuteronomy 21:23. It means anyone who is killed in that way was cursed. And that means, like, you know, the thing is, Christ in his whole life had never sinned. But in his death, it was sinful. Meaning the way he died was, you know, considered, it was like a cursing. This is not a way a just man dies. But then the only just man who ever lived died that way. He was made a curse for us. And in that very action, he condemned the law. The way they killed him, he had no choice in that. He didn't do anything wrong. Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Everything has to be done. It's done. You gotta do this, do that. And see, that's the point. And then faith. Now, how's the difference between faith? Because there are things that have to be done in faith, right? But they're not done according to law. They're done according to, I believe it, and God writes it in me and makes it happen to me. Now, I look at some list and I check off the things I've done and I haven't done. Because if I try to do it by my own effort, I'll fail. The only way I could possibly obtain this and succeed is when God delivers these things to me. And God wants us, and the part of faith is to understand that God is doing these things. See, Abraham knew him and his wife couldn't have a child, but it was because God said so, and he believed it. Same thing with, that's what it means. I can't be righteous. I can't fulfill the law. All right? I can't do any of those things. I can't do it. I could never live for God. Never. Never do it. But because God said I can, or he will do it, actually, because God said, not because he said, I must. I said, but I can't. Oh, you must. That's the law. You must do it. But I can't. Romans 7. But faith is, I can't do it. And God says, I know I can't do it. And then God says, you shall do it. And then I say, I believe. And then he does it in me. Okay. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them. I guess I want to make sure you got understood. See, there's quotes of the Bible in there from the Old Testament. He's going, the just shall live by faith, is from Habakkuk. I got those along the way. I guess I want you to be aware of those things. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's all about promises with God. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto, not to Abraham. And his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Is then the law against the promises of God? God forbid. Hold there before we go on, because it's kind of getting away from where we started. It's interesting. The Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might... So, the blessings of Abraham. I think that's pretty clear, self-explanatory. The whole point. Can we... Yeah, we can move on. I certainly hope that the instruction was sufficient. I speak after the manner of men, though I be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul their head. Meaning, I'm trying to now see, as you understand, just want to speak to you like a man, after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, meaning, let's say men make covenants, right? Yet if it be confirmed, let's say you make a contract, right? And then you confirm it, you sign the contract. No man can void the contract or add to it. Least in theory, right? That's justice. You know what I mean? I say, we had a contract. And people do void contracts, but now the contract's broken. You know, the whole point is that's against the rules, right? The rules are you don't disannul or add to it. The covenant stands as it is, right? That's why later on he says, is the law against the promises of God? Because they're added, you know. Seems like, are they at? No, but they're not. The point is, they're not at, they're added because of transgressions on the people, but they're not really part of the original covenant made to Abraham. See what I'm saying? And then that is not disannulled or added to, meaning, like he says in Romans and in other places, that even in the Old Testament, everything, the way they had to be justified was by faith. I even see that in David, the way, see, Saul's most biggest problems were he did not seek God by faith. If you look at David, even though Saul was so wicked to him, what did he say? I won't touch the Lord's anointed. Because he had such faith in that anointing of God. Even in the face of all Saul's contrary actions, he would not take it in his own hands to lift a finger against the anointed of God. And then Saul, it's like, you know, when God just said, hey, don't, you know, you will not keep those animals for yourselves. He's like, well, you know, the people and so on and so forth. I really covered that in Romans back, but I'm going to try to stop saying, oh, I covered it in Romans. Oh, I covered it in Romans. Unless I give you a specific example. But I don't know how able I'm going to be to do, to not rely on that. But I hope as I just generally refer to these things that your minds will be transferred back to when I spoke about David and such. And once I forget about those things I spoke about, I suppose I'll say, remember when we covered it in Galatians. The promises were made to Abraham and his seed, and not to seeds as of many, but as one to Christ. Okay. And this I say, and this is really a narrow promise. It's like, it's the ultimate promise is, yeah, it was to the children of Abraham, you know, through Isaac, and Isaac shall thy seed be called, right? Meaning Christ is the ultimate seed through Isaac, but and the children of Isaac received this covenant and the promise that the covenant was confirmed before of God and Christ. But everyone who received that old covenant, it had to be by faith, meaning they believed God. We will be a holy nation. And they still received the promises of God by faith. Let's see, those who seek to do it by law always are finding loopholes and technicalities, etc., and trying to free themselves from the true requirements of God, which are obtained through faith. That they might do things by laws and by... Because I tell you, a lot of the salvation they preach is still by a law. It's like, here, look at it. We got these things written out here that you gotta... If you believe these things, well, then you're saved. This is still just legalism. It was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it should make the promise of none effect. Meaning the promise that to his seed would be, you know, by would be blessing all nations cannot be made void by this law that came in. Okay? The inheritance is not of the law. It is by the promise of God. It's not like, what he's saying is, what he gave to Abraham was a promise to nations and the seed, right? But then what he gave to Israel was like, okay, you people, if you do this, then you will live. Okay, but that's not like, if you do this, then if you don't do this, everything I said to Abraham is going to fail. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then, serveth the law, was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come whom the promise was made. It was ordained in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. I mean, he says that. He doesn't say anything more about that. And I'm always kind of like, hey, wait a second. Wait a second. He's just, it's almost like, I almost think it's one of those reflective sort of, he's just saying that. And it's like, wow, you know, there's what, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ? Now, a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Whoa. Now, originally, Abraham, I believe the mediator of the law was Moses. But in the New Testament, it's Christ. God is one. But a mediator is not of one. How then is there a mediator? I definitely put this into my work I've recently done on the nature of God. And this is kind of odd in the middle of the Bible stuff. But I want to write this down because I need this for a later little bit of work I'm doing on my website, oraclesofgod.org. Writing a little doctrine stuff. In any case, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. A mediator is someone who goes between. See, there's not a go-between is not a no-between. Meaning, there's got to be a between for a mediator. I mean, he acts between two parties. He doesn't mediate with one party, right? Because it's interesting that in the New Testament, Christ and the Spirit act as mediators. Yet, you know, the God is a Spirit, and the Spirit of God, and Jesus is God, and there's mediation going on, and God is one. And so, yeah, it's, for me, that is enough right there. It's like, wow, woo, that's pretty cool. Some people have to make up explanations for it. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come whom the promise was made, ordained by angel in the hand of a mediator. So it was the law again against the promises of God. God forbid. See, the law was added because of transgression. You know, the people and sin. And as Paul has said, well, here he says right here, okay? We get to understand more about this law thing. Added because of transgression. Well, then it doesn't. What about the covenant? You know, well, you know, it can't make that void. See, that's the point. God forbid. Continuing in verse 21, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. If you could give a law that could bring life, then righteousness would come by the law. Thou shalt live! That's why the Lord hath given Jesus Christ said, God had given him a commandment. My Father gave me a commandment, which is eternal life. That is the commandment which Jesus received of God. Eternal life. As it said in Romans, grace shall reign through righteousness unto eternal life. See, grace, because you can't live forever without righteousness. And grace is needed to bring that about. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promises by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Ah. Maybe I'll just finish the chapter and reading it and then go back over all these verses. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why you got to be baptized. Really. Not because of law. Again, why would he... there's another rule and regulation. Some people say, oh, you don't need to be baptized, or it's just the Spirit. No. It means you go out and get wet, right? Not according to the law. Like, look at the thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized. Because he didn't... He was too high up there on the cross to be baptized. Right? But we're not on the cross, are we? If we have an opportunity, we get baptized. Those of us who believe, anyways. If you don't believe, well, I guess you won't be baptized, will you? But that's what I mean by faith. Hey, baptizing the Christ, I believe I've been baptized. I got baptized because now I've put on Christ. By being baptized, I've put on Christ. I mean, what? There's nothing. That's the thing. Is like that you have to have faith to even believe that. What, you get dunked in water and you put on Christ? What are you, nuts? That doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, what's water gonna do to make you Christ? Put him on. What's the, you know? Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, going back a little bit, remember we were saying, okay, the law was added because of transgressions. And I like the way he says, the scripture has concluded all under sin. And laws come in to really make us all sinners. And he said back in Romans again that, you know, the law causes sin to become exceeding sinful. Because you had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not lust. I mean, some people say, you know, it's man naturally thinks, well, you know, it's wrong to take my neighbor's wife, but I mean, if I look and nobody knows about it, what's the harm? Right? What's done in secret stays in secret. What's the big deal? Blessed is he that does not condemn himself in the thing he allows. Because that's the conscience playing. The scriptures came in to make men real big sinners. But even so, like I said, in Romans I taught this, that the conscience of man already brings him in guilty. And so there's always something in man that's sinful, and man knows it. Aspects of their personality, things. See, it's like, well, I don't do anything wrong. It's like, well, what about those things you don't do that you know you should? See, you are a sinner. Oh, well, maybe I should, I always felt that I should do this. Yeah, see, your conscience condemns you. Not that you should be condemned to feel, oh, I'm so depressed. No, no. Have faith and believe. And you can obtain all the promises of God. Partaker of the divine nature. To me, I like big things like that. What's the point of all this petty stuff on earth? There's no point to it. I mean, you know, like, you can partake of a prostitute. Well, yippee. You can partake of cable TV. You can partake of cheeseburger. You can partake of prime rib. You can partake of shiny new car. Well, what's that compared to partaking of the divine nature? You want to move a mountain? That's nothing. How about partaking of the divine nature? How much faith does it take to do that? The scripture hath concluded all in a sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's why all this stuff happens. The law and it makes us sinners so that we could take the promise of God by faith. And it would be given to them. See, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given. The things that God promises. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not in theory, indeed. Those things are given to them that believe, that we might be partakers of the promise. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith which should afterwards be revealed. I mean, I think in many ways, that's the way people, because we start off looking, and I don't know if everyone does this. I certainly did. I'm going to try not to raise my kids this way, but in a sense, you kind of do. You almost have to, because with children, it's like do's and don'ts. And they begin to look at the world in the terms of do's and don'ts. Because what do? Say, child, by faith, you will please me. I'm not God. I can't make it happen. See, that's the thing. I have to put my children under the law. I have to put them under the law. There's no way you can raise a child to do... They have to go through school, so to speak. Even in life. I mean, I can't really just believe. I mean, I can teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what I mean is, in my house, I have rules and stuff. And they go under the law. And then they end up breaking those rules. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should, by faith, just say, children, believe you will fulfill my will, and you will. That would take maybe a little more faith than a mustard seed. And, I never like to belittle faith. That's why, as I'm saying something, well, maybe I shouldn't. But, I'll say this. Whether I should or I shouldn't have, I put my children under law because I told them things that they should not do. Okay? And I give them commandments to obey. And in the disobedience of which brings about consequences. And so, because really... They have to be, everyone has to come under sin. All are under sin. The scripture concludes all under sin. In the book of Romans, I'm going to just refer you to this. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, I believe it was. Yeah. It really drives home that idea of how we're all concluded under sin in the scriptures. It gives you all these references. You know, in the Psalms, and the prophets, and the law. How man is a sinner. Man does not seek God. Man does this. Man does that. So, we were kept shut up to the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Before faith came. Before we could receive the promises of God by faith. I mean, I could promise the truth. Honestly, I think about it. I'm like, I have raised my kids in faith. So, honestly, because I've sort of behaved like faith towards them in the sense that I tell them, you will obey me. I didn't say, children, please obey me. Or don't... I don't know. I've given it to them mostly. I don't... In a sense, I haven't set up a lot of rules unnecessarily. I mean, I haven't said certain things in the way that, you know, I try to be liberal. As far as giving them a lot of liberty. And I mean liberal like in the political sense that we use the word today. I mean in the biblical sense of liberty. Being big-hearted. Broad-minded in as much as the liberty we've been given in Christ, in that narrow sense. In the narrow way, I think broadly, so to speak. Within that narrow confines, I do not go so narrowly that now I'm almost like I'm under a law. There's a certain liberty we have in Christ. And so I give my children a certain amount of liberty in my home. And my faith, my teaching of faith to them is, I promise them, you will obey me. And then I make it happen with my discipline. And you know what? God is not much different than that. He brings about his discipline. He promises it. We believe it. And then we transgress. And he brings about his discipline and corrective measures. But ultimately, unlike God, I cannot impute righteousness and make changes in their hearts. I could try. But ultimately, it's still like the law. Even though I have a lot of faith in the raising of my children. As far as I operate in faith in the way I act towards them in obedience to God. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. that we might be justified by faith. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, no longer under the law. Because the law, again, it's just something that points out your evil doing, or points out the things you should be doing, but you're not. As Paul says in the book of Timothy, knowing this first, that the law is not for a righteous man, but for ungodly and sinners, murderers, men stealers, etc. It's for bad guys, of whom I have been, I couldn't say myself, chief. I'd flatter myself. I was really much too lame to ever be a really big sinner, you know. I've been big enough sinner for me. I'm ungodly and pitiful in that. I mean, I always marveled at the men who were brave to sin to the full extent of their desires. I was always afraid and trying to live by the law. But not completely. See, I hated the fact that I half feared God, half loved the world. That's disgusting. I'd rather just be, you know, like Jesus said, I would you rather were cold or hot. Like Paul, man, he was definitely on one of those extremes, you know what I mean? He was not like in between about Christ, you know. And so, but I mean, as far as sin and righteousness, I'm not drawing that with Paul, but I mean, with me, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like I have more, you know, I think that when people are, they fully go after the things they lust after, it's like, well, that's what they want. And then it's like, some people, it's like, well, I want to go to church, but I still want to live with my girlfriend. I still want to fornicate. I still want to do things kind of my way, but I kind of want to have one foot in the kingdom too. Not sure why. And God says, ah, you're lukewarm. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Makes him, he does not pleased with that. That's not pleasing to God. And it never pleased me that I was kind of like that. So in a sense, you're almost more of a sinner because you're disgusting. More disgusting to God. The others, they were like, well, it's too cold. I'm not going to drink that. But lukewarm. I didn't want to be vomiting God's mouth. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Literally the word there is sons. And I like that. We are all the sons of God. Why do I say sons? Because there is neither male nor female in him. That's what it says here in the later verse. There's neither male nor female. We're all sons. The sons of God. So I always say the sons of God. And that doesn't mean, oh, just men. No, it means women too, but we're all sons. You don't want to be just a daughter. Don't you want to be a son? Like the son of... Because Jesus Christ was the son of God. You're going to be like Christ. A son. So it's in heaven. There's no reproductive this or that. And it's like... I'll tell you what. I'm not so in love with the aspects of manhood that I'm going to have to leave behind in heaven, so to speak. In the kingdom of heaven, I should say. Because I don't... You know, I'm not a big go-to-heaven type of believer. I don't believe in like... I'm going to die. I'm going to go into the ground. And then I'll be raised from the dead to live on earth in the kingdom of heaven. But my point is, in the eternity is what I really refer to, in eternal life, in the kingdom of heaven, we will neither marry nor given in marriage. There are aspects of manhood which will be left behind. You know, many aspects of what it means to be a human man right now, which will not be part of that kingdom. And so there are aspects of womanhood which are incompatible with sonship. And those will also be left behind. And because they're unnecessary. And they're really not part of the divine plan. And believe me, those women who are in Christ do not care for them. No, it's like, what aspects of my... do you think in heaven I'll need, like, let's say, spectacular... incredibly muscular guy, but let's say incredibly muscular body to show off or to use my strength, you know? You think a woman needs a voluptuous form in heaven wherewith to tempt and to pleasure? That's the point. It's like, you don't need all those. The woman doesn't need her voluptuousness. And the man will not need all his earthly powers of the flesh. You know what I mean? Like that. I look at Jesus. And like, you know, he didn't, imagine like a big muscular body. I mean, you know, any more than a woman that needs those boobs and all that. To be frank. We'll all be sons. So there's not just neither. There's no more females. No, there's neither male. The excessively maleness of men is not in Christ. In Christ, it's androgynous. I mean, there's really no male, female. It's none of that. It's Christ. It's God. We are all partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature ultimately is not about human sexuality and male, female, that kind of thing. Though he always, God is inherently, you know, of the quote unquote masculine. I mean, I'm speaking as human beings understand things, because God is the active part. He is acting on creation. You know, just as a man penetrates a woman for reproduction. So God is acting on creation as the creator. That's why creator is not a, you know, the thing which yield, like the earth is like the mother of man, because it's the womb from which the first man was taken, so to speak. You know what I mean? God is father acting on it. He's the active part. It's like when you know, plug a socket into a wall. It's the active part that God is. Now, I mean, the socket, the juice is coming from the outside. Well, obviously it's not a perfect analogy. I just mean the idea of the male and the female. He says, Heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Okay. Male or female, there's a father. And there's a mother. And it's not, I mean, Jerusalem, the mother of us all. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. There's no, I'm afraid, you know, there's really no individuality as far as, and there are individuals, right? And we're not going to be all absorbed into one cosmic single mind. But we will be of one mind, thinking the same things. We'll be one in Christ. We know not what we shall be, but we know we shall be like Him. And if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And that even goes back to Genesis 3, verse 3:15, I believe it was, where it's like, you know, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Her seed being Christ. And who's the seed of Satan? Well, it says, in this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother as Cain. Now Cain was not the seed of God. Why? Because of sin. That was it. It was because of the sin that lied in him. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. Abel was received of God. God had respect unto Abel in his offering, but unto Cain he had not respect. That's the difference. And his countenance was fallen. So heirs according to the promise. So believe in the promise of God. What is the promise? I can become a son of God, be partaker of the divine nature, and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That I might live godly, righteously, and soberly in this present world. That is part of the promise. The promise is what was made to Abraham, but it is all the promises of God. And these are the good things, you know. The promises, they're broad. I mean, it's not like there's, okay, well, thou shalt, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. No, 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 no. It is, this is what you will be. Believe you this? Yes, I believe. And then you shall be.